The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relaxed. Relaxed. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And top of the morning to you. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. How are you?
Hey, my co-host, my guest is here.
Yes, Brother Mark is in the building. Bishop Mary's in the building. We're here, America. We are here.
We are here and ready to have a fantastic show with you today. And we certainly are hoping that all of you that may be beginning your travel for Thanksgiving will be safe. But for the rest of us that got to work, that may not happen to Wednesday.
I know, right? You know how it is.
It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. We need you to stay tuned. We have a fabulous show. Mm-hmm. We have two Hall of Famers.
I'm excited about
Amen. And we're going to talk about the call to prayer. And then, but we're going to start off first with a historic lady in just a moment, right after these messages.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Can we say that one more time?
He brought me through our trials. He brought me through tribulation. Never let a day go by and I feel like
the bandanas.
That is one way, of course, to introduce our guest on today. She is Reverend Carolyn C. Cavanis, and she is a dear, dear friend, a young lady I consider like a little sister. I love her so, and I'm proud that she's with us on today to talk about her historic appointment.
Yeah.
But we want to first welcome Reverend Carolyn C. Cavanis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good
hey,
morning.
You. Hey, you. good to hear your voice. Thank you so much for joining us. Yay!
Yay, yeah, let's clap it up. Clap it up.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you're with us today.
Absolutely.
I know that you're busy and you have a tight schedule, but I just want to jump right into it. Is that okay? We just jump right into it. What is the history of Mother Bethel?
Mother Bethel stands on the oldest parcel of land continuously owned by African Americans in the United States, purchased by Richard Allen in 1791. I had a very good historian friend of mine the other day that said, Carolyn, Mother Bethel probably should be revered as one of the most important parcels of land in America when it comes to Black people. And so to have been entrusted with the congregation and this long history, it's spellbounding. I'm awestruck. There aren't words to really explain to have been entrusted. And so that's what the significance. And then also with after 52 pastors.
You can ask her.
Here I come as the first woman pastor. And so it's a twofold significant honor that I've been entrusted.
Now, when we talk about the AME, African Methodist Episcopal Church, of course, everyone speaks about the historical nature of Richard Allen owning the land and this church. This is considered the mother church, the historic church, the one that is the base for African Methodist Episcopalism around them. I'm trying to get it right at this
get
hour.
Get it right.
I haven't had coffee yet. Nonetheless, around the world, and Mother Bethel is the heart of it, sort of like the Liberty Bell and the Constitution Center here in Philadelphia is the base of our nation. But you are also years of legacy in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Would you mind just sharing a little bit of your history?
Sure, sure. So I am a fourth generation preacher in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. My great-grandfather, Reverend Dr. Joseph Slade, in fact, how my paternal family came north was due to the AME Church from by way of Alabama to then his first stop being Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, then was shipped, if you will, to South Philadelphia to Metropolitan AME Church.
20th, used to be
my grandmother, that's right, Fitzwater. My grandmother, Teresa, was a child prodigy. She began playing the piano at three. And so her formative musical career was set forth right here in Philadelphia. She went to the precursor of Curtis Institute. So just thinking she's born in 1924. She would have been 100 this year. She would have been one of the few African-Americans and then African-American women in the precursor of and had a full ride to Oberlin College. She, in her senior year at Girls High.
Oh, wow.
She didn't get to graduate from Girls High because the bishop moved her father to Newark, New Jersey.
Oh,
to
Lord.
The St. James AME Church. And I think as a little rebel that she was, it's why she ended up getting married. As soon as she got out of high school, she met my grandfather, who was a very celebrated tenor soloist. In fact, we tell the story that he, was in a competition for the best tenor voice in New Jersey, and he came in third because he was African-American.
Wow.
And, you know, they would sing aras and all that sort of. So, and then my dad, following that tradition, was an AME pastor. And here am I. And then our family also founded the Union Chapel AME Church, which actually was right next door to New Hope Baptist Church, the Whitney and Sissy Houston Church in Newark, New Jersey. And so very much a part of that Newark sound, Newark scene of music, the gospel clef. You might have heard of Leon Lumpkin. Uh-huh. My dad was one of them, and my grandmother was a church organist. Her entire life, she has a YouTube channel. So you go to Teresa Cavan, it's 87. So that's the tradition I come from. And so I think they would never have imagined that their great-granddaughter, granddaughter, would end up as the pastor of the mother church where it all began.
Wow. Well,
because and so to see this,
That's awesome. Like, you come from a very rich background. How does that make you feel in terms of, do you feel like carrying the weight of history on your shoulders, or you just feel like, you know, my grandmother was a child prodigy and it's just in me and I'm just going to do what I do? You know what I mean? Like, how do you feel?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, one is to pay homage to that history, but also what is the contribution that I make towards it? What is my legacy? What is the part that I help to bring? And something that I think is very, very interesting about my life is that I'm able to understand history, but also understanding its relevancy now, but also the need to create and, you know, be a part of what God is doing in this time. And so in this generation, what is my contribution and how do I pay homage to the tradition, but also how do we also, you know, be relevant, right, to the here and to the now?
Well, one of my listeners is asking the question, would you mind sharing your history with the AME Church when you first became a pastor, how long you've been pastoring, and those people who God has entrusted you to cover?
Sure. So I my family knew that I was going to be a preacher, and I also knew I was going to be a preacher very young. At 14, I accepted my call to ministry, was licensed to preach at 15, and then was admitted into the AME conference system at 16. And so this was unheard of. Even today when I share that, people are like, what? but my parents were very committed that we would have a balanced life. And so, you know, did all the, you know, basketball, you know, music and orchestra, all of that.
What instrument did you play?
What instrument did you play?
I played the what I call the baby xylophone, the bells. And but I also, you know, they did try to teach us, you know, piano with my grandmother, but I always contend that had we come into her life a little bit younger, when she was a little bit younger, we probably would have all been master musicians. It's something I do regret that I didn't. But I can read music and, you know, look at hymns and all of that, have a sense of, you know, a balance of a repertoire and what that means and what that looks like, and being certainly liturgical, which is so important in the tradition. And then I went on to Union Seminary, graduated in 2011, and started pastoring here. My first church was First AME Church in Sharon Hill on Darby Road. And then May 18, 2014, was sent to Bethel AME Church of Ardmore, the first female pastor in their 130-year history. And now, 16 days ago, was sent to Mother Bethel AME Church.
Well, for you to be double twice history, I want to say double, because she was the first one on the, as they call it, the church on the main line at Bethel AME Ardmore. I have been there, and beautiful place, and she's a beautiful spirit and certainly served there for 10 years. But now, again, history is repeating itself.
Yes.
In you being the first female appointed as the pastor of the mother church. Why do you think in this season, particularly for women, when we still face bias, discrimination, even in the pulpit, in varied denominations, what does this say to women to know that your toil or your time will come? Like, you hear this phrase, it may be your turn, but it's not your time.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's not your season, or wait on it. As a black woman, and one that I know you're proud of your heritage and your legacy, how does this appointment help those of us that are waiting for the same form of recognition, maybe not in the same way, but to be revered and respected, particularly in this time?
One is, it certainly It takes the lid off what's possible.
Wow.
It also signifies that we have to, yes, gender is gender, but also how do we revere the gifts and talents that have been entrusted? We're all containers. It's what's been put inside of us that we have to plug into. I also believe for, you know, Black women have always served and always been a sense of the source of comfort and succor, standing in the gap, making a way out of no way. womanism, right? I mean, that's just, you know, when you needed something to get done, when you think about civil rights movement for all, and I use this example often, but it's real. Yes, you have King, Abernathy, Jackson, Young, but it was the women behind that funded the movement.
Come on.
You know, made the pies and fried the chicken. you know, you think about the Montgomery bus boycott. It was those women who copied those flyers in order to get the word out. It's those women, you know, Marian Anderson, who sings, you know, and provides a sense of, and so for the, you know, where we find this country, and it's going to be Black women who are going to be the source, who are going to provide the outfitting for what it means for wholeness in community. Because we've been doing that. And so to be at the Mother Church and to go further, which has been certainly that this has been, you know, history within the AME, but to see, you know, I was with a Baptist deacon in South Philly a couple of weeks ago, and he was beaming with pride. And I said, wow, like what this does for other denominations to show, you know, what is possible and how do we affirm the gifts of talent. I mean, God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
That's right.
And so what does this say to little girls who can look up and say, you know, that they're, you know, there's going to be a picture of this woman pastor amongst all these 52. Finally, you know, why'd it take so long? And then also that I shouldn't just be number one, that there should be two, three, four, five. In fact, there shouldn't be the numbering system.
Right? Wow.
So how do we, and to help to make history and to affirm other history makers along the way, you know, what are the other doors and ceilings that need to be shattered and need to come down? And so that's what this, that it's possible. And that also that it takes brothers to do it. It takes, even if we think about, you know, racism, it takes our white allies to break through, you know. It takes, you know, everybody coming together to say, this is what we need, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to stand by it. And so I'm also very much indebted to my presiding bishop, Bishop Samuel Lawrence Green, for the confidence and trust and believing that he could entrust me through, you know, certainly through God's, you know, speaking to him. Because this is a major task, and what but Mother Bethel not only again means to the AME Church, what she means to Philadelphia, what she means to African American Black church history, period. I mean, the whole so multidimensional of what she means and what she stands for and why she must stay alive.
Wow. Another question that one of our listeners is asking, will there be a formal installation or celebration upon your arrival at Mother Bethel?
We pray to do something in the new year, 2025, and so we'll certainly. This also is a celebration for Jerina Lee. And so, you know, and you know, I say I'm one of Jerina's daughters. I mean, she herself probably could never have thought that a woman herself could lead this congregation. And so it definitely deserves our stopping and paying homage for this moment. So, yes, we'll certainly be able, we'll share once something has been coordinated.
The last question our listener is asking is, What is your vision for Mother Bethel, and how are you going to maintain history, but then be progressive with what God has assigned to you?
So one is, you know, Mother Bethel's history and is a testament of being able to withstand in spite. And so just being a living and breathing organism, that we're still here. We have been able to withstand civil war, World War I, II, political regimes, James and Jim Crow, George Floyd, all of that. And even I don't even want to think about what is to come, that we're still here. Wow. We still lift up and say, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. There still is comfort in these walls. But also, how do we take that amazingness? How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. How do we take that? And how do we breathe that? How do we become walking manifestations of that? And so that is certainly also in the importance of telling our story and preserving our stories and what that means, not only for this institution, but even just as, you know, as we're coming together around, you know, the Thanksgiving table. We have got to tell our story and we've got to document our story, right? We've got to hold on to birth certificates and funeral programs, right? I mean, those are historical documents, you know. How do we, you know, look at the land that we have and any Black church is history. When we consider what it took for our people to raise the money, to put the bricks together, to keep them together. And so how do we just heighten our level of how we care for, particularly that there aren't many Black institutions, but for Black churches? You know, we don't have big office buildings, right? We don't have, you know, the land that we have. And so paying homage to that and speaking names, and that these spaces are still community hubs, that people know that if there's an issue, if nobody's going to talk up or be a gathering space, they know that the Black church is where I can go bury somebody, right? Where I can go bring my babies to be blessed. I mean, that is, especially given the political and what's going on around us, Black churches, we have got to breathe new life. We've got to keep them alive, because it's in many ways all we got. Just like our HBCUs, you know, how do we value? How do we uplift? And so, that is my vision: continue to connect with community, continue to inspire new leadership and generations to come, preserving this international treasure. And so it's, you know, when I walk in, I'm like, wow.
I know.
I'm looking at pipes that are 200 years old.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Well, all I want to say is congratulations. And I can't wait to meet you. I got to figure out how to get on down there. And when they do celebrate you, Bishop Mary, you know I'm crazy for this.
I know.
I'm going to sell tickets. Tickets and chicken.
As long as we got chicken, we'll be good.
Some pound cake, champion. Some pound
cake. I know that.
Oh,
right.
You know better. Have that pound cake, boo. Don't forget the red punch.
See, y'all going too far now.
I'm telling you. But Pastor, we are so proud of you. I am particularly proud of you. I was
Absolutely.
There when the announcement was made, and I almost jumped over the seat that was in front of me sitting by Supervisor Green. She said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I love this little girl. I love this girl so much. My God, today," she said, "I'm telling you, God is doing a thing." So having been in your presence, affiliated with you all of this time, there is a blessing in store for them as well as you, and we give God praise for you. Quickly, if you would not mind sharing your favorite verse as we close out this session.
My favorite scripture verse is one of your favorites, actually. Because of the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed.
Mm.
And so I treasure on that a lot, Lamentations. I treasure on that a lot because of the Lord's mercy. We're not overwhelmed. We're not succumbed. It's because of the Lord's mercy.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. I know that's right. His compassions fail not.
That's
they
right.
are new every morning.
That's right.
Great is his faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
We give God praise for you. Thank
yes.
you so much, Brie. And we'll be looking
Thank
to make
you.
That announcement. All right.
All right. Okay. God bless you.
And you have a great day.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Happy you Thanksgiving.
Too. I love her voice.
And that was the pastor of, well, the first female
pastor.
Newly appointed pastor of
Mother Bethel AME Church.
Amen. All right. We're going to transition quickly, and we're waiting on our next guest.
Yeah.
Amen.
So
why don't you enjoy this selection?
It's prayer time. Come to the altar.
When the church begins to pray,
God will have his way. Chains will be broken.
Chains.
Oh, yes, they will.
Will be broke.
Doors will swing open. Something is bound to happen when the church begins to pray.
If it's all right, would you say that again?
When the whole church
begins to pray,
the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Chains will be broken.
Chains.
Oh, they're gonna fall off.
Will be broke.
Doors will swing open.
Because of technical difficulties, we're going to flip our switch.
Yeah,
we're going to actually flip. And because we got our Hall of Famer here,
yes.
And I'm trying to make sure that Miss Patty Jackson can join us real quick. Amen. Can I tell you how historic this is for me? I got two Hall of Famers on my show.
Oh, man, I wish I had a tamarine. Because I'd shake the tamarine, shake a tamarine. I'm excited.
Absolutely. And we're going to try to get Miss Patty to join us quickly. But I do have one, and she is beautiful, and she is here.
Yes,
amen.
Indeed. I'm a co-signer.
Look at Stella at this hour of the morning. Oh,
she and woke of course, up like that.
Yes. I wouldn't believe that.
Bishop Mary, Brother Marcus, you both are too kind. But when you get to be this age, you wake up very early. So I've actually been up for hours.
Well, she's like 22 plus tax, like what, 25? Come on now.
All right, Brother Marcus. You got to tell the truth on a Monday morning. No, but it's so good being with you both. And, you know, I was listening to your interview with Reverend Cavanaugh, and oh, my God. How inspirational and motivational, especially at this moment, to hear from her. I mean, I think so many of us, Black women, after all the work we did and how we wanted November 5th to turn out, and it didn't turn out, of course, the way we wanted, to hear her words of inspiration, to remind us that, you know, when you go to Mother Bethel now, you will look on the wall and on those 52 pictures of pastors, little Black girls can see someone who looks like them. That was lifting. So thank you so much for bringing her to us. Oh. And of course, congratulations to her for leading the Mother Church now. This is an exciting time.
Yes,
we have to hold on to that.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yes,
and of course,
exactly.
And of course, we're talking to none other than the TV journalist and the big advocate herself.
American journalist.
Yes.
Advocate. And the list goes on and on.
Yes. Ms. Renee Chenault-Fatah. And we're so grateful.
Yes, we're so grateful.
That she is with us.
Absolutely. All of your listeners.
Absolutely. So we are excited for you because I'm a member of the Philadelphia Association for Black Journalists. And she, along with Ms. Patty Jackson, who will be joining us shortly, were installed in the first ever Hall of Fame. History is coming around and Black girls are doing it.
Black girls rock. Black women rock.
Magic. Absolutely.
Rockety rock.
Absolutely. And of course, she is the lovely wife of Congressman Chaka Fatah, one who has served us greatly, and we're thankful for his legacy.
Yes.
But she is one in her own right. Come on, somebody. And in particular, she has this heart and passion for Alzheimer's and has done a film about it and has been really pushing her advocacy in relation to that. So we want to congratulate you as a Hall of Famer. I recently was inducted in the Hall of Fame at my high school at Girls High. So one Hall of Famer to another. Amen. I'm telling you, Black girls.
I know y'all
rocking. My brother, hang on. We about to move something.
I'm going to be right there watching.
thank you so much. Thank you. But as you know, Bishop Mary, you don't do that on your own. I mean, it was such an honor to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. But that night, I couldn't help but think of sort of all of the people who had made that possible for me, just in the sphere of journalism. I mean, when I came to NBC 10, one of the first people who reached out to me was Orion Reed, who, of course, is the consumer reporter there.
That's right.
And Edie Huggins, who made it her business to take me to her church, not Mother Bethel, but Bright Hope, so I would know the community and the community would embrace me. And then my fellow Hall of Famers, I mean, again, one of the first people who reached out to me when I came to Philadelphia was Patty Jackson, who invited me on WDA. Yes. Now, she must have been 15 at the time to have me on the show way back then. But, you know, and then when I left television, Patty made sure that I was, you know, honored in her Women of Distinction Awards. You, Bishop Mary, you brought me on to talk about my Alzheimer's documentary. Sarah Lomax, who was also inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
She made a way for me to be on the air talking about documentaries. So you really, you don't do it by yourself, as you well know. It's all those people around you. And in this case, I named sisters who really lifted me and continue to lift and support me.
Absolutely. And so you're continuing your advocacy work now with, of course, she's an accomplished lawyer and has a stellar background. And, of course, we miss seeing her on the face of TV, but she is now transitioning to advocacy work and Alzheimer's. And would you just mind sharing a brief synopsis of the importance of that work, particularly for the African-American community?
Absolutely. Well, several years ago, I started work on a documentary called In Our Right Mind. You talk about, you know, what your favorite Bible verse is. Mine happens to be, thank God I woke up clothed and in my right mind. So that I made that the title for the documentary. But focusing on Alzheimer's in community, Alzheimer's and other dementias, I should say, in communities of color, because as quiet as it's kept, although you actually won't be surprised, we are disproportionately impacted, like so many other chronic diseases. African Americans are twice as likely as other communities to be grappling with Alzheimer's and dementias. And this was an issue that just I didn't think was getting the attention that it needed. So I did a documentary. Since then, I've been focusing on how we start the conversation. So whether it's going to our institutions like our churches or our community groups, but getting people to talk about it as well as to understand what services are out there, what we can do in terms of lifestyle changes to reduce our risk. So again, focusing on our community, why this is important, and what we can do about it. And I see
Patty.
Miss Patty Jackson. Miss Patty just jumped
Jackson.
In.
Come on.
This
good
is double
morning,
Dutch
precious.
In here. It's double Dutch going on.
Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you. How you doing?
Good. We got you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Now, who doesn't know this voice?
Man, everybody
come on.
Knows. Everybody.
If you don't listen to DAS, you have missed it.
Yes.
But everybody knows Patty. And no disrespect to LaBelle. Amen, because I love her too. Amen. But the voice that we all know is none other than Ms. Patty Jackson. First time here on the Bishop Mary Show.
this is the morning voice because I got off at midnight.
They
well,
got
it still sounds
this working still... woman in show business.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. She still sounds good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Better than mine probably till I get my coffee. But we were sharing with Renee about the historicness of being in the first Hall of Fame for the Philadelphia Association of Black Journalists. And, of course, we want to congratulate you. Mm-hmm. So for one Hall of Famer, because I was inducted into Girls High Hall of Fame just 2 weeks ago, to another, congratulations, ma'am. Congratulations.
Yes.
You and Renee are setting history for many others to follow.
The dynamic
How you
duo.
Feel?
The dynamic duo.
I feel good. Renee is someone that I have just admired for years.
Yes.
And I was just so determined that her legacy will not be erased.
That's correct. Mm. That's right.
Patty, I was sharing that with the listeners and with Bishop Mary and Brother Marcus, the fact that when I left television, you made it your business to make sure that I was one of the people who was recognized in your Women of Distinction program.
Yeah.
And that's meant so much to me. And that actually opened the door to so many opportunities. But it was speaking to the fact that you looked out for me, like I told them, you know, when I first came to Channel 10. You had me on the show. I also said you were 15 at the time. So that was, yeah, you could have been hosting WDAS back in 1991. You have always been there for me. As you can tell, we have a mutual admiration society, but nobody, I mean, I'm not surprised that Patty was still out there at midnight last night and yet is here this morning. Where you get your energy from and your commitment to our community is just, it's unparalleled. I've never seen anybody or anything like it.
Yeah.
I am a professional nap taker.
Oh, that's a good point.
I like that.
I love I could take a good nap.
Wow. And of course,
and they don't
go ahead.
And they don't have to be long. It could be a quick 15 minutes. And I'm like, okay, let's go.
She's ready to go. Well, that is a wonderful secret that we'll be sure and happy to share. And of course, we applaud you for your efforts and your bounce back after your medical incident. Because I think the city of Philadelphia went down in prayer for you, and prayer changes things. And when I first saw you shortly afterwards, I just wanted to leap in my spirit. I felt like I wanted to run up and hug her, but I didn't want to squeeze her too tight because not everyone rebounds the way you have, but the determination that you made to say, I may be gone for a minute, but I'm back, y'all, is really wonderful for you. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
I feel good. You know, we have good days, late days, and, you know, sometimes difficult days. But God really reset my life. One of the things that I'm sure that Renee knows this in her series on Alzheimer's, the caretaker gets sick after the person dies. Yes. And I took care of my mother for many years, but I never took care of myself. Wow. I'm talking about drinking water and just doing things for my well-being because I'm raising my son. I'm taking care of my mom. I still got to work. I broke. I suffered my stroke 2 weeks after she died.
Wow.
And I did not even realize what had happened to me and what made me stop crying, because I was just crying. I missed her. I couldn't see. I couldn't walk. I still had a voice. And that's when God said, girl, I got you.
Yes.
You're gonna, I'm going to get you up. I'm going to get you out of this wheelchair. He restored my vision and my whole career shifted. I didn't get in this business to do video. But I started doing YouTube and I just started doing, I love pop culture and entertainment. Mm. I love telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He really restored me. I did not dream of getting a street named after me or getting inducted on Broad Street. Well, that was kind of a dream, but I didn't think it would happen. I used to say, I hope I'm on this Broad Street. You know, and it was the first woman in radio. How, Sway? How am I? I thought it was the first Black woman. My boss was like, you're the first woman.
Wow.
But God restored me and he just set me on a whole new path. He really did.
Yeah.
And that's why my story, if you are taking care of a loved one, take care of yourself. And that saying, honor thy mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm that living example because I think because I was a good daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
You brought me my life back and more.
You're just an awesome.
She just preached.
Yeah.
She just preached.
You're just
right
an awesome person, period. I remember the first time that I met you. We were in Burlington, New Jersey. I think it was like an African-American Heritage Day. And I was getting ready to take to stage, and I was just so in awe. And I was like, hi, I'm Brother Marcus. And you were like, I know who you are before anybody else knew who I was. And you just embraced me, and you just gave me this big shout out. And I was like, I ain't got to do nothing else today. But I love you for that. And I just so appreciate the love and how you really care for people. You really care for people, and I appreciate that.
Well, I do believe when I see new people come to town, we must do for us, and we must protect, and we must support us, especially after we witnessed on Election Day. We must support us. We must reach our hand back. I will reach my hand back to that woman or that man that's coming up. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come aboard. Because it's important. We have to have us. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got that message loud and clear the day after Election Day.
Absolutely.
Patty, that's so true. And, you know, Reverend Cavanaugh was talking earlier about the fact that we have institutions. We have strengths. Yes, we were disappointed by November 5th, but it also sent a message. We, as you said, need to rely on ourselves, rely on our church, rely on the organizations that give us information. I know when I turn on Patty Jackson, I'm going to get facts. I'm going to get the truth.
I know that's right.
Same way with you, Bishop Mary. Same way with WURD. We have to rely on our institutions because that safety net that even though in the past it had holes and it was sort of raggedy, it was there. These next 4 years, that safety net is not going to be there. The only ones who are going to be there for us are us. And we have strength in that, whether it's HBCUs, the church, our community organizations, our civic organizations. But yeah, we can do this. We've been through this before, but it is not going to be easy going unless we rely on each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was sharing with my church on yesterday that never before that unity is going to be necessary. And we're going to have to get past the petty foolishness that sometimes we as a people, women against women, men against men,
men against women,
all of that. Well, you ain't this and you ain't that. We have to become even the more cohesive And even though we may be individualized, and we thank God for our individuality because he didn't make a mistake in making each one of us unique. And so we're not a repetition. We're not a replacement. Mm-hmm. We are an original. And so even in our originalness, we have to learn how to find things that are more common than differences and learn how to be willing to open, embrace, and love on people. And that's what I love about these two ladies. Oh, neither yes. one of them, and any time that I've met them or talked to them, shunned me or were rude or like, who are you and what mm-hmm. are you doing? Very embracing, very open, and very encouraging, which makes me do what I do mm-hmm. right here on the Bishop Mary Show. So I'm grateful for that.
I'm so grateful. Speaking of how caring they are, Patty Jackson in particular, because I never got the chance to meet the other beautiful young lady that's here with us, but I will. But I remember we were doing something at the NAACP in Philadelphia, and Patty Jackson was sitting, you know, with a couple of people, and as I was walking around, she was like, hey, you could sit right here. And I was like, huh? Amongst the elites? But she just kind of embraced Patty. Me, and I just love her for that, you know?
Absolutely.
Patty.
So for the Thank two you. Of you, what is the thing I'm going to say, I heard Patty kind of allude to it and Renee too, but given the season, what could you say to the audience with a message of hope? The two of you have stellar careers individually, mm-hmm. and we honor that. I celebrate it. Mm-hmm. I've been shouting from the rooftops all week. Y'all better listen to Patty and Renee on my show. If not, go on the podcast. Because this is history, along with Reverend Cavendish, to have mm-hmm. three women of history on my show at one time. It's never been done, and so I'm humbled and honored by it. But what can you say to those who feel like, it's hopeless now. We just got to throw in the towel. We just got to, you know, give up. And what to make them get up every day and keep on trucking, keep on pressing in whatever area they are in, that would be a blessing to them.
Learn to embrace the no that has come in front of you.
Mm. Wow.
Because God has got you. No, mm. we don't like no. We're like, what? Let him lead you. You may be afraid, but it's like being on a limb and you see this peach and you're like, I want that peach. Well, you got to get on the limb to get that peach. Mm. Let him guide you. It could be depressing. It can make you cry. You won't understand. But later it will be revealed to you. Wow. 20 years ago, my house collapsed in South Philly. My house collapsed. It collapsed.
Wow.
No one was hurt. And God was like, I've been telling you to move.
Mm.
Move.
Wow, that's powerful.
Woo, and she wasn't in it.
Yes.
Praise God for that.
The signals.
We get no's in our life, and we don't like them. Mm. But if we let him lead,
my God,
we will understand why. And he got us. Mm-hmm. We just got to be trusting in the journey. That can be difficult. Remember, the road to success, it ain't a straight line. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of crooked lines.
Absolutely.
Mm. Wow. Well, Reverend Patty Jackson here, live on the Bishop Mary Show.
It's hard to add to that. How in the world do I add to that? I guess to say, yes, I agree with everything Patty said. And in addition to that, I think we have to, and I'm a big believer in stories. I'm a big believer in our stories. I'm a believer in our history. And Reverend Cavan has talked about our history and what we've been through. So relying on where we've been, but then also in this moment, find joy. I have a brother, my baby brother, who picked up and resettled in Senegal with my sister-in-law. Mm. And they have a house on the beach. And he sends me pictures every day of him running along the beach and going to the marketplace. I find joy in his stories and what he's experiencing. So each of us has that in our life through our family, our friends, ourselves. Find some joy in this moment.
Absolutely. Mm. Well, I'm too full. I am full up. I've had the two Hall of Famers on my show, I'm going to be talking about this for a minute. So y'all get a lot of, did you hear the Bishop?
We're going to have to debrief.
But I'm so grateful for the two of you being on here today.
Absolutely.
I know Patty has to get ready for work, and Renee's probably, she said she's been up hours, so she got work to do as well. But I thank
Thanksgiving is coming.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And I know Miss Patty Jackson's going to be cooking up something. I know she's always doing something.
We got a date.
Her and
we got a, no, me and her, we got
y'all
a date.
Do? Because
yes,
she
we do.
She loves El
she
DeBarge.
She promised me.
Bringing him food and stuff.
Listen, I ain't
well,
El DeBarge.
I thought, Patty, you promised me.
You are all going to get it.
For real. And so I want to thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for honoring me here on the Bishop Mary Show. I love you both. And I'm praying that God will just continue, that even though you face the no's, there'll be a few yeses too.
And you can find joy along the way.
God bless you.
God
thank
bless
you
ladies.
So much.
Thank
love
you.
Thank
you.
You guys.
Much
thank
respect
you so much.
To
Happy
you.
Thanksgiving.
Happy
thank
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
I
say? That was Renee Chenault Fatale.
Such a beautiful, beautiful
Patty
lady.
Jackson.
Another beautiful lady. This is just an awesome, awesome time this morning.
Absolutely.
I think we're ready for a
sports talk.
Terry, right?
I think he's on the line.
Yeah, sports talk, Terry.
Well, sports talk.
What
is the talk?
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. I'm Sports Talk Terry with your Philly Sports Minute. So while the Sixers are embroiled in controversy, continuing to lose, and Joel Embiid has now kind of misaligned itself with the franchise, those Philadelphia Eagles continue to win. What a game last night on primetime football. They were going into SoFi Stadium in California to play the Los Angeles Rams. And coming into the game, it was kind of lukewarm on how they would play, having to go up against a team with another great offensive skill set that matched up well against them. And no worries, no problem. They didn't start off the way that they wanted to, not being able to put touchdowns on the board yet again on the first drive. But as the game began to mow on, you started to see a difference. The free agent prize running back side, Saquon Barkley, ripped off two runs of over 70 yards, huge touchdowns, setting a franchise record, 255 yards on the ground, and a franchise record of total yards for a running back of 302 yards. The 255 yards on the ground was the seventh highest total in NFL history and the highest since 2009. And what a day he had. Putting himself back into MVP conversation as he has now surpassed Derrick Henry, King Henry, who's in Baltimore, who the Eagles will play this week. To go back to that game, the Eagles did give up 20 points, which, was kind of indicative of kind of where they've been defensively. Quinyon Mitchell did a decent job of holding Puka Nacua, who was the matchup that everybody wanted to see, out of the end zone, although he did have a bunch of catches, mostly when they ran to the other side of the field. However, two big losses for the Eagles. Brandon Graham with the torn triceps in his arm is out for the season, which probably means the end of his career. 15-year career may be coming to an end. So unfortunate to hear that. And also Darius Slay, who was the starter, moved to the bench in favor of making sure that they kept the right guys on the field at the right time. He's now out. They don't know how long he'll be out, but he's out right now after taking a nasty shot in the second half. Jalen Hurts, 15 for 22, 179. So now coming out of this game, next up, the Baltimore Ravens, which most say it will be the hardest game they play the rest of the regular season. The Baltimore Ravens, who are 7-4, and play tonight against the San Diego Chargers. So they could easily be 8-4 when these two teams meet next Sunday in Baltimore. So that's going to be another big game that the Eagles are going to have to get up for. And it's going to be tough. It's a 425 game, and it's in Baltimore, so it's a road game as it is. And the Ravens are fighting to try to maintain some grasp of that AFC North after losing the game to the Pittsburgh Steelers a few weeks ago. So a lot is riding on this next game. Most folks feel that if the Eagles do manage to win this game, they pretty much should be able to run the table, as the schedule outside of that Steelers game is pretty, pretty soft the rest of the way, with the Giants and the Cowboys and the Panthers in there. So this is going to be a good matchup for them.
Yes.
And most folks are going to be tuned in to see it. But again, the talk of the town, everybody in the city just raving about Saquon Barkley and what an impact he's had on the offense. And how stupid did the New York Giants have to be not only letting him go, but announcing it on Hard Knocks on national TV that they were going to let the best player in their franchise go in favor of a quarterback who they cut this week, who was their starting quarterback the last 4 years. So
wow.
Just upside down tale of two stories. And what happens is when you make one bad move and how bad it can turn. So that's all I have. I mean, it's really not much else to talk about outside of that. That literally took the cake for everything. you guys, you make sure you check us out next Monday. We'll be talking and giving you guys the fill-in on everything from the Baltimore Ravens and the Philadelphia Eagles next week, and hoping that the Sixers can turn it around. Nice. It looks like they're just headed in absolutely the wrong direction as well. So that's all I have. Make sure you guys check us out on all social media platforms at Sports Talk Terry.
Thanks so much for that extended update on the Sports Talk Terry. We appreciate you. You can hear him live weekly here on the Bishop Mary Show.
Yeah.
Well, regrettably, we were not able to get our last guest on. We were experiencing some difficulties. So what we will do is make this announcement.
Yeah.
One that is upcoming. As we hear a little bit of this song.
It's prayer time. Come to the altar.
When the church begins to pray,
God will have his way. Chains will be broken.
Chains.
Oh, yes, they will.
Will be broke.
Doors will swing open.
Will swing open.
Something is bound to happen when the church begins to pray.
Yes.
Well, we're calling for the city of Philadelphia, every house of worship, every church, regardless of denomination, to come to Zion Baptist Church of Philadelphia. There is an urgent call to prayer. And we have this being hosted by the senior pastor of Zion Baptist Church, Reverend Dr. Gus Roman, in partnership with Bishop J. Lewis Felton, who is the president of Black Clergy of Philadelphia and Vice Sedity, and the servant leader for Mount Airy Church of God in Christ. All roads need to reach and go to Sunday, December the 1st, at Zion Baptist Church, located at Broad and Angle Streets, at 3 o'clock p.m. sharp. We will be starting on time. We will be doing nothing else but praying and singing. Singing and praying. There will not be a sermon. There will not be elongated speeches. We're just coming together as a city. It was a vision of Dr. Roman, who wanted us to realize that in this season, the church needs to know what to do and to do what it does best. And that is prayer. Prayer. So I'm encouraging all of you to please, sir, please, ma'am. I'll be sending this and posting this. I never hardly post on Facebook, but this gripped me. And I'm part of the committee that's putting it all together. So we will be posted.
Yes.
And we want you to share it with your network. We want to see the house full of folks that not only know how to pray, but need prayer.
Amen.
With the disparity, with the hopelessness, with the anxiety, with the insecurity, with the many no's.
Oh, yes.
And there are reasons that people are coming together. So we're talking about every facet of a life, from financial to education,
housing,
to mental, spiritual, housing, homelessness, our children,
physical,
our babies,
yes,
everything. We want to be able to lift up these, and we're looking forward to seeing you Sunday.
Yes.
This Sunday, December 1st, 2024, at Zion Baptist Church.
That's right.
Well, it looks like it's going to wrap it up for me. I love my
your job.
Yes, I do. And we're going to make this announcement about an upcoming conference called...
It's called CYWC Expo.
All right.
And it's going to be a women's conference. It's going to be dynamic. It's going to be at the Leah Core Center, December 14th, 2024. It's going to be at 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We'll give you more details and information. I believe we're going to try to see if we can get this person in here with
us. All right.
And Miss Carolyn Wilson.
Absolutely.
She is the visionary, so we're going to try to get her in here.
We're going to try to get her. So until next week, be good, be careful. If you can't be good, be careful. Mm-hmm. If you can't be careful, don't do it. It may not be worth it.
There you go.
Love ya. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.